Greetings, everybody. I'm James Gillen, your host, and there's a lot going on. As you can tell by my background, I'm not in the studio yet. It's undergoing some renovations. Being through the winter, we got kind of invaded by some mice and some other stuff. So we're cleaning that up and organizing that. But, you know, I wanted to get through the news really quick, and it looks like Iran will soon be wrapping up. As we said earlier, there's a lot more to the story than it's being released and perceived, basically. Iran is a major deep state money laundering asset. You know, it has no right to shut down a major waterway the world depends on, and a nuke in the hands of these fanatical clerics controlled by the deep state, you know, in their WW3 depopulation agenda is not a good idea. So nukes in the hands of Israel is also not a good idea. And Kennedy was deeply against it. They say that might have been his undoing. The benevolent ETs offered technology to end war, disease, and poverty with the condition we get rid of the nukes. And sadly, our leaders did not take them up on it and signed on with a not so benevolent group under the Eisenhower administration. Karg Island was just captured, according to news, which we can't really depend on, but taking one Iranian asset out of the game, being used to attack the shipping. And sadly, they're saying at least 11 Marines lost their lives. But, you know, personally, I wish these wars could all be avoided. You know, we have the technology to totally wean ourselves off of oil. The new batteries, electric motors, and suppressed free energy generators could create vehicles that could go forever without refueling. And if you add a little anti-gravity to that, you know, we'd have like incredible transportation systems. So we wouldn't even need tires. You know, we could use replicators, could take care of anything plastic using other, you know, non-toxic source coming from the ethers, basically, probably much more durable. More in the news, I really wanted to cover this. Ancient Sumerian tablets have been found that list 47 star systems with civilizations and life. Star nations designated as friendly, some unfriendly, to the Anunnaki. They also speak of advanced civilizations within the Earth and at the South Pole. You know, the tablets reveal other advanced civilizations that were hunting the Anunnaki or the ancient Lyrians, as we have said for 40 years. They came from Lyra. There's a lot of misinformation on this stuff. So Enlil was referred to as a defeated warrior who wanted to end the Eden experiment, you know, get rid of the noisy humans, which explains a lot. You know, Marduk, aligned with Enlil, made a pact with the reptilians and warred against his own people for total supremacy of the earth. Enki loved and was the defender of the humans, you know, having a son with an earth human we call Noah. This is a repeated flood story that seems to be a reoccurring event. But anyway, the Anunnaki were divided. Some continued to spiritually evolve and are now helping in the liberation of humanity and the earth, cleaning up the karma of their ancestors. They joined the Andromedan, Arcturian, Sirian, Orion Council of Light, and the Pleiadians. So the Pleiadians created the colonies of Atlantis and Lemuria, and they were terraformers with more genetic stock on Earth than others. This gives them priority according to the higher councils. And so these tablets speak of the Anunnaki origins as Lyra and their planet of origin, Nibiru Antu, you know, all of which has been, we've been saying since the early 80s. So information others have distorted to become relevant. And there's been a lot of attacks on us by these people that are creating these crazy headlines just to become relevant. And, you know, it's getting old. But anyway, these tabs have totally vindicated us. So as usual, life goes on. Looks like we've been vindicated also, you know, and the controlled narrative, the limited hangout called Disclosure, the cover-up just died. You know, Earth's history goes back far before the Younger Dryas 12,000 years ago, as scientists believe. The pyramids were built over 70,000 years ago. Some scientists are saying a minimum of 38,000 years old. So there's been a series of geocentric events, pole shifts, meteor impacts, massive volcanic and tsunami events occurring over millions of years, civilization startovers. And so wait till they release what they found at Ionis in Turkey and Göbekli Tepe. We'll go more in depth that in another show. But anyway, the benevolent ETs are flooding the sky of Rosetti since I returned. I've filmed hundreds of ships in just a few days, literally fleets of ships flying just to the south of us. And there seems to be a I don't I'm pretty sure there's a massive underground base near Snowden, near that area, and they seem to be traveling across the sky there. So anyway, so get ready for some mind-blowing changes. A whole new world is coming. I wanted to talk about some of our upcoming workshops, and I've got one coming up on the looks like May 15th, the kind of Ascension Tools workshop, and we're going to be covering, how to heal unseen negative influences, keep your energies clear, creating sacred space, the Ethiopian Bible techniques that were used to connect with Creator, the Monad within, a lot of powerful teachings and experiencing. We actually bring these beings in for people to connect with. We bring the masters in, and anybody from Yeshua to Mary to Andromedans and Pleiadians and Sirians, Arcturians come in where people can have their own firsthand experience. So again, contact's been going on for over 40 years here. We know who's on the ship. Their cultures, their appearances, everything. And this has all been censored for God knows how long. So anyway, that one's coming up. And then, oh God, I just screwed up. I'll let her say her name. Siddhar Saraswati, or I'll get it right. But she's
That's
got a
worry.
workshop. How do you say it again? I think she's there.
That's worry.
Siddheshwari. There we go. I don't know why I have trouble with that. I should know because I've studied yoga for years. But anyway, she's coming up soon, and we're going to have her on the show here right after I do her bio, and she can tell you more about her. So Siddheshwari is a yoga teacher. She's a wellness expert, longtime meditator devoted to embodiment as a pathway to self-realization. She teaches that a healthy body is the foundation of mental, emotional, and spiritual well-being. When honored as a living temple, it becomes our gateway to deeper spiritual exploration, connecting us to higher dimensional intelligence and our own greater being. Her work weaves together natural detoxification, high vibrational raw and living foods, yoga, and meditation to enhance the body's living energetics, supporting physical healing, cellular vitality, a healthy, lean body weight, radiant beauty, and longevity. With a background in psychology and over 30 years of meditation experience, she takes a deeply somatic approach to healing. She gently guides people to release emotional and mental conditioning, clear subtle energetic pathways, and access their full creative potential and inner freedom. A natural tantric yogini, she lives close in relationship with the earth and the elements, finding joy in simple living and inviting others to reconnect with her intuitive body wisdom and the sacred intelligence of life itself. So let's just welcome her on the show. Are you with us?
Yes, I'm here. Hi, James.
All right, welcome to the show.
Thank
There's
you.
so much going on right now out there. I don't even know where to begin with some of these things. The I know we've got the work your workshop coming up. It totally embodies everything that's Ezeti, which I love. All of the teachings. I wish I would have wrote that myself. Basically, but this is coming up on. Let me see. We've got it June 11th, or is
I
it
think it's
May
May 28th or 29th.
Okay, I've got different things written down
Yeah.
here.
End of May, the last weekend in May,
Yeah, last
basically.
weekend of May. I think it says May 31st on here. I don't know why. But yeah, last weekend of May, and we're unorganized because I'm doing this from my house. I'm not doing it from the studio, and everything's kind of in different places, so it's hard to get this show together right now. But we'll get back on track. But anyway, your workshop, I know you've done one before, and they're amazing. I guess the bio I just read, you're going to be covering all that in your workshop. So if you want to talk a little bit about how you're going to structure the workshop, or how the workshop is going to go. Well,
Sure, I'd love to. So the main intention, as you know, and anybody that's interested in probably tuning in for the retreat, it's a contact yoga retreat. And so the main intention is to help people to really prepare themselves for contact if they haven't had any contact, or if they are having contact, to deepen that experience and deepen that relationship, and also to integrate it. So not just having an experience, but integrating it into the larger picture of our life and our life experience. And so throughout the retreat, there's kind of three main core themes that I'll be focusing on. One is really getting deeply grounded in the earth and connected to the earth, spending time on the earth, getting our feet on the earth, and really aligning our energy with the earth vibration, which I feel is really important right now. And I know you also recommend that, and Jesse too. And then also helping people to clear and harmonize their energy fields so that they're more receptive and more aligned with the right kind of contact. Because as you know, for many, many years, where we are mentally, emotionally, and spiritually is going to determine if we are trying to reach out and connect with extraterrestrials, interdimensional beings, or even just other humans. Where we are in our own personal energy field is going to determine what kind of energies we're connecting with. And so making sure that we're clearing our energy and that we're really grounded. And then, most important of all, that we're deeply rooted in the self, in our soul, connected to our soul. And of course, yoga and meditation is a big part of bringing us back to center so that we're centered and strong in our being and who we are, so that when we do have contact with other people, extraterrestrials, higher dimensional beings, that we're rooted in who we are. And then that's the foundation for that contact. And so we'll be doing yoga every day. And the yoga that I teach is very gentle. So it's accessible for people who have never practiced yoga. A lot of times, I think people will come to me when their first time taking a yoga class. They say, "Oh, I can't do yoga. I'm not flexible, or I can't stand on my head." Or they have all these, they see things on social media that's very way out there and extreme. And so they can feel a little bit intimidated. But the true purpose of yoga, it is good for the physical body and flexibility and balance and all of that. But the true purpose is this kind of multidimensional harmonization of our energies and getting connected deeper into ourself. And so the classes I'll be teaching at the retreat are very gentle, appropriate for beginners. And actually, I talked with Myra, and we're going to put in a half hour before the yoga classes for people who have never taken any yoga at all and they're feeling a little bit not sure about taking a yoga class. They can come to that half hour, and I'll go over some sort of one-on-one foundational things that they can do during the yoga class to kind of help make it more smooth and make it a good experience for them. And then the workshop that you mentioned, all those things in the bio basically are going to be covered in the workshop. But again, the main intention is to help people really raise their vibration. And there's many ways we can do that. The whole yogic tradition, many of the spiritual traditions on our planet, have a lifestyle component. And so a lot of times people think of yoga as a exercise, the kind of like gymnastics, or maybe showing off on social media, but it's really a lifestyle. And all of the lifestyle components of yoga are aimed to help people connect deeper with themselves and to raise their frequency, clear old traumas of the past, clear mental conditioning, belief systems, fears, all the things that would get in the way of us really living a full life and making that higher contact that we're looking for. And so in the workshop, we're going to be going over physical things that people can do as far as detoxification, bringing in, as you mentioned, high raw living food nutrition, fresh juices, and things that can actually raise the energy potential of the cells, really raising the frequency of our body. And then other practices like conscious breathing, meditation, and other things that people can do to also raise the frequency of their energy body, their auric field, their mental emotional body, all of the lifestyle things that help us live sort of in that high frequency space that's going to align and attract higher vibrational beings into our experience. And then back to that earth connection, really recognizing that this earth is part of our awakening and healing process, and we're intimately connected with the earth. You know, our body primarily is made of the elements of the earth. And we refer to her as our mother for a reason. And she wants us to thrive. And so the more closely we're connected into the earth, as far as nutrition, just touching the earth, putting our feet on the earth, they found that soil is an antidepressant. So, you know, this helps to raise the frequency of our physical health, helps to clear our mental emotional fields. And so the more time we spend in nature, and fortunately, East SETI is a beautiful setting and a beautiful place that's abundant in opportunities to connect with nature. So when we're not on the yoga mat or doing this workshop, we'll be connecting with the nature and spending time just in community, conscious community, and yeah, creating an experience, hopefully, that people will come away from with really rich foundation and not just having contact at East SETI, but continuing that contact and keeping that foundational connection with their self as the core of that contact.
Yeah, that's great. I had this friend of mine say a long time ago, she said, spiritual people are of no earthly good. And I remember, and it always stuck with me how, you're not grounded, you're not doing the work here on the earth, it didn't make sense when she first said it, but then I really thought about it. I said, if you're not grounded, you can't do the work here. You can't. And the more grounded you are, the more energy you can bring in, you can anchor in. And the ascension process is actually bringing that energy in and getting every cell, every atom of your being vibrating, and you start raising your frequencies. And so we have the ascension process backwards. We're all trying to go somewhere, and we're all trying to connect to God, and it's within us, and we just have to raise our frequencies. There's nowhere to go, just be basically, and know who you are. And I think too, it's so important that we do get grounded and learn loving detachment right now, because that bifurcation of worlds or timeline splits, whatever you want to call it, is intense right now. And there's some people that are taking the higher road, and some people are really taking the downward spiral, the lower road, and you don't want to get tied into their karma and their stuff, what's going on. So, and loving yourself right now to set boundaries is really, really important. Don't get sucked in by being a savior. So many people are trying to fix others and help others and everything else, and we really need to focus our energies on our own ascension right now, because your family, friends, lovers, everybody will pull you off in 10 different directions. You can still engage them, but do it from a grounded space of loving detachment, and I'm sure that's what you teach, to anchor yourself in so you can deal with this craziness that's all around us.
And you make an excellent point because so many people are worried about the world out there, you know, politics, what's going on, like you said, with the families or friends, but there's a reason in the air, you know, in the airplane, they say to put your mask on first. And so if we're not grounded and we're disturbed in our own conditioning, our own issues, then we're just adding to the problem. And so, you know, it goes back to that core Buddhist teaching. If that change we want to see, we first have to embody that and do the inner work, do our own process. And then we can be a lighthouse. Then we can be really stable and grounded and may or may not even have to say anything, you know, just by a vibrational frequency. You know, in the same way that group meditation can raise the frequency and lower crime rates and things like that. Well, if each of us are doing that work, staying connected to the earth, doing our own clearings, then we're automatically making those positive changes that we're trying to, you know, tell other people to do or, you know, trying to go out there and meddle in the outer world rather than just taking care of that center. So, yeah, you're right.
Yeah, it's I've just seen so much right now is, like you kind of mentioned, I call it Facebook spirituality, where everybody has the aphorisms and they have the catch buzzwords, And then they're trying to become relevant, you know, so they got to change the old story around. And I mean, a lot of the old stories are being undone by new findings and things like that. But a lot of people are doing it just to become relevant again, just for shock therapy, and then get hits on their site and everything. And it just really muddies the water and confuses things. And so, you know, I tell people, if you're going to the mainstream news and Facebook for your for your information, you know, to run your everyday lives, you might want to try a different path or some computer program that AI that's going to tell you know, how to live. And you got to come from the heart and your own personal God connection, or you're just going to get beat up right now with the shifts going on.
Well, and that really connects with what you're teaching at your workshop with the self-mastery and that the inner sensitivity. So it's like, I mean, now we have access to so much information, but there's a lot of chaos, and as you mentioned, a lot of muddy waters. And so how can people really connect with what's true and what's the truth? And that comes back to that inner sensitivity, connecting with the earth, connecting in with the self, and having that inner compass rather than looking to even spiritual teachers, gurus, and anyone external to get that guidance.
Yeah, that small voice, learning to listen to that small voice, not the loud one in front of you. I just got caught up on that one because I had this dream, you know. The dream was to create East Seti Hawaii and have this beautiful incorporate the whales and the dolphins into the UFOs, and I had this incredible vision, and I didn't listen to the small voice, unfortunately, and I hooked up with some people who are not who they say they are or have totally different agendas. And it was quite a lesson. You know, it was $1.5 million lesson that,
Yeah.
you know,
Well, and
but
it's interesting because a lot of these things that don't go well, I think ultimately there still is their wisdom in there. You know, everything
yeah.
that we're going through, it's like it can look like a train wreck, but if we pull back and say, okay, you know, maybe there was something for each person, each of us involved, you know, whatever we're going through. Like you said, just I can't tell you how many times, like, oh, you know, I got the intuitive nudge and I didn't listen to it. So I think through
Exactly.
that trial and error is where we build that, you know, build that connection deeper and deeper. And it's probably an infinite process.
Yeah, there are some major red flags and intuitive promptings, and you know, I let in my mind the bigger picture kind of overshadow. I go, look what's possible, you know, and this would be so awesome to do this, and I got caught up in the bigger picture. You know, an old saying. There's an old Confucius saying. Man with head in clouds, stumble in ditch, you know. So you got to pay attention to the ditch and the obvious, you know. I go, oh, that's all these red flags are coming up, and I go, oh, we can get over that. Oh, we can work together. We can rise to the occasion. You know, everybody wants to do it. And the thing we get caught up with is we think everybody wants the same things we want, and they have the same foundation of, you know, moral foundation, you might say, or integrity foundation that we do, and we project that on others, and we get caught. You know, we get the big smack in the face because we didn't listen to the other ones. You know, the subtle voices, the subtle warnings, you know, involved in that. But and also too, detachment too. It's like you have to go. Practice that loving detachment. Okay, you know, I did my best. You know, it was a great vision. You know, it was could have been awesome, you know, but I have no control over free will of other people. And I kind of learned not to tie my camel to other people. And it seems like every time I've done that, I brought somebody else in and tried to work together with people. There's the ego jumps in, and then there's a power play there and a takeover, you know, like a mutiny or whatever, and the other entities come in and feed off of that, and it just becomes a big F fest, you know. It's like so it's I've kind of learned that I'm just going to hold space and do my vision, and whoever wants to join me can, but you can't divert it, you know, you can't divert it off into some other see me dig me program.
Well, and what you've done there with East Seti over the last 40 years takes a lot of strength and anchoring to keep things going in a particular direction. So I would be shocked if there had never been something coming, from left field to try to push it this way, push it that way. It's like all of these challenges, they say to whom much is given, much is required. So
Yeah.
when you're doing something in a bigger mission in that way, and as you were talking about, I think in the last show about just people in this community being influenced, and not just the UFO community, the spiritual community as a larger community, and just in the world in general. These are times that are really testing people and showing us, I don't really think there's any mistakes, like you've talked about, just things that we learn. But we are all being sort of called to rise to the occasion and dig deeper. And like you were talking about, the deeper we go into ourself and that earth connection, it's actually a polarity. And so as we deepen those roots, the branches of the tree also reach up higher. And so keeping that balance, and like you mentioned, it's like if we have our head, if we're trying to only go for the leaves and we don't build those deep roots, then things can get destabilized. And so I think the work that you're doing at ESETI and this contact yoga retreat are ways for people to kind of push pause on their life and the chaos and whatever dramas or things that they're facing, and just unplug for a little while to reconnect with the land and reconnect with themselves, and just kind of recalibrate their compass, get clear on really what do they want, what's really driving their actions and their behaviors and their life path. And this is a time where a lot of people are course correcting. They were in one career or one relationship, and things are they're finding that to be toxic, nutrition as well, the medical system, the whole thing. People are really accelerating that course correction, and the retreats that ESETI offers, and just the space and the land for people to do personal retreats, is giving that opportunity for people to come back into clarity, come back into themselves, and so they're not just tossed all over the ways and following the next shiny object that leads them down a rabbit hole to hell.
Yeah, it's kind of like it's part of what you said, because very, very few people, when you ask them the question, "What do you want?" they don't know. They don't know what their own soul purpose is, their unique soul purposes. They look at you really funny, and you ask them again, "What do you want?" Not "What does everybody else want? What does everybody else expect of you? What society expects of you? What do you want?" And a lot of times they can't answer, or they'll give you a shallow answer as conditioned, by the environment, social engineering, you might say. But very few people, I tell them, go find a tree and sit down. First of all, put your hands on it and energize yourself and help yourself ground and heal, and then sit and ask yourself that question, who am I, and why am I here, and what do I want? In today's fast pace and all this external craziness, it's that people just don't take time to do that. Take your shoes off, go for a walk, like ground, get clear, get out of all the psychic turbulence.
Yeah, and it's interesting because in my experience, we're all, like you said, we're all socially conditioned to want the way you describe it, the sports car, the bronze babe, the house,
Yeah.
whatever it is, the status, the career, whatever it is that people think that they want. And yet when we connect deeper inside and get rooted, there's this fountain of fulfillment, this fountain of wealth that we all have access to, that we're all connected to. And we're getting jerked around in the outer realms, with especially with social media, but just all of it, pulled over here. People are super busy. They don't take the time. And as you mentioned, not even taking the time to really feel into what they want and make that connection. And yet when we make that connection, all of a sudden, all the other things, it's not that they're irrelevant. Everyone likes to have good health and good relationships and enough financial abundance and all of that. But all of that becomes a lot richer when we are coming from that rootedness within. And so it's sort of an illusion, because a lot of times people say, well, I don't have time to meditate, or I don't have time to take for myself, not realizing that that's the biggest investment we can make. And the biggest gold mine is there, and everything else sprouts out of that.
I noticed something, and I kind of almost thought about not saying it, but I've been to these conferences, a lot of these conferences, and it seems like the ones that do the best, unfortunately, are the ones that fit within social consciousness or the controlled narrative and the material, like gaining more material wealth or whatever. It's amazing. And the ones that are authentic, that really are solid, that empower you to make your own personal God connection and get out of the social engineering and the other stuff, are they're smaller. And I think it's kind of very chaotic right now, and people are forgetting, look, this is something you need to do. You really need to get grounded and anchored in, and raise your frequencies, and go to the ones that are authentic, and listen to them, and don't make them your gurus. You are the guru. They're just the ones that are authentic or empowering you, to make your own connection with Creator, Great Spirit, God, whatever you want to call it. But it's just an observation I've seen, is that, like, even in the UFO community, the people that are authentic and have the real information about disclosure, who they are, why they're here, the ancient history of the earth and things like that, they're like not there. They're not in the big conferences. Because if you're authentic, you're kicked out, basically. And I think, because it's become a business, it's a multi-billion dollar business now, and it's under a corporate structure. I hate to say it, but most of it's a satanic Luciferian structure, but at the top. But it's so important right now for people to just say, wait a second, I need this. I need to ground. I need to get in touch with myself, who I am, why I'm here. I need some tools, to clean up my consciousness and my environment and my body, and really take the time, for self-awareness and self-improvement, basically, and cleansing, cleansing our toxic bodies, our toxic minds, everything.
Yeah, the deep purge, and it's similar to those, if you've seen the cymatics, which they have the vibrational plate covered in sand, and it has a nice looking structure. And then when you change the frequency, which is what's happening on the planet, everything kind of, just the sand vibrates, it makes a big chaotic mess, and then it reorganizes in a much more beautiful pattern or mandala. And so that's kind of what's happening in every sphere of our society and our life. And so some people that are not really deeply rooted, I think it's a bit of a rougher ride, because they're going into fear. They don't have that deep connection to their soul and to the earth. And so if you're only connecting into that 3D matrix and into the 3D structures that we've been conditioned to think is the, life the way it is, and as this frequency is raising, that all is changing. And so the deep stuff is coming in the same way that the roots of a tree break up concrete. It's like this is birthing from within all of us, actually, from within the earth, from within the universe, and from within each and every one of us. And so, yeah, I think, we're going through that phase where everything on the outside is looking a little bit crazy and negative and dark and infiltrated in every system. And but it's again back to that polarities, I think, is the frequencies rising, and we're getting closer and closer to living and embodying truth. Everything that's not true is really breaking up and falling away. And so that is that kind of chaos that we're seeing. And it can be rough, but fortunately, with conscious community and like-hearted people, we can kind of feel that support and feel connected.
Yeah, definitely. It looks like, universal law is pressing in big time, and everything out of alignment with it is crashing. It's on the downward spiral and being revealed and exposed. And the chaos is the healing. It's the healing in action. And so, if there wasn't chaos, there'd be no evolution. There'd be no, forward progression on this. I love that saying, the closer you get to nirvana, the more the demons rear their ugly heads. And the greater your light, the more you're going to mirror and amplify other people's unresolved stuff. And it's just the way of the yogi, you might say, or the Jedi way, whatever we want to call it. It's you have to realize that you've got to be able to stay centered walking through the chaos, because we are going in some very chaotic times. And what Babaji always told me was, he said, He said, when these shifts happen, he goes, it's going to hit some like a feather and others like a brick, And depending on your, if you have a massive ego, you're going to be defending that ego. And if you're done with that, the ego doesn't need defending. You can just say, as you wish, carry on. Is that what you want to create? And whatever you take from another will be taken from you. It's just basics, And that's the thing I blow me away is a lot of people in the spiritual community and the UFO community that have just totally abandoned the basics. The basics, the universal law, universal peace, brother, sister, love, individual freedom and prosperity for all. The basics, be kind to each other and the planet, keep a high level of integrity, your word is law, stuff like that. It's just been totally abandoned. The foundation has been abandoned, and that's why you're seeing all this chaos, because the people that abandoned universal law are having the backlash, the boomerang. It is and their whole kingdom was built on a false foundation, so it's going to collapse. It has to, for the new world to come in.
Yeah, and as we're going through this process, it is like a deep detoxification on all levels. And something I talk about a lot is multidimensional detoxification, because it's happening on all levels, individually and collectively, and in just in the world of physical health and wellness. When we go on a cleanse or some kind of detox protocol, it gets worse before it gets better. Things start purging out of the body. People can get headaches. They can start kind of feeling, and that's just the toxins leaving the system. And so if people are aware of that, they'll stick with it and actually go the distance to get that stuff out and then ramp up to a much higher level of health. And the same is true with the mental emotional stuff. It's as we start doing this work, start doing meditation, start going deeper into some of these things, it does stir stuff up. It's stirring it up planetary wide, but it's also stirring it up individually. And so I think it's important for people to realize that those detox symptoms is part of this awakening process. It's part of this rebirthing. And there's going to be a little bit of birth pains as part of that. But if people can stay connected and persevere through that, what's on the other side is such a higher, much deeper, joyful experience than what we're just seeing on the surface level. And I think that's something that people can get disheartened, because they look at the news, which how much truth is there anyway? And they look at what's going on and they feel the pressing of the economy and different things and can get disheartened. And that's unfortunate, because that actually lowers our frequency and disempowers us. And so there's something really beautiful coming, really powerful coming. And I know you've been talking about it. And so it's my wish to help people connect with that, so they can not just believe it intellectually, but actually experiencing it as a living reality in their body. And when we tap into that as a community, people who really have a heart for humanity and the earth, when we tap into that and actually connect with it, it melts the depression, it melts the fear and the anxiety, and oh, you know what's going on. And those are the energy fields where people are making decisions that aren't in the highest and best interest for the collective. That's where people are making these lower level decisions. And so at the base of it is a disconnect from our greater being, or from the earth and from truth. So when we reconnect in with that, we can actually get inspired and excited and then be part of the solution, on a frequency level and just in our lifestyle of what we're contributing into the collective to really make this thing grow into the whole process, the whole ascension process, the whole awakening process of where we're all going, regardless. But if we're kicking and screaming or, not doing it consciously, it can be a rougher ride. And if we take the time to do it more consciously, then we actually come out on the forefront and help lead and accelerate the process for everybody.
Yeah, the people are going to need grounding forces, like people that are solid and that know how to practice loving detachment and not get caught up in all the dramas and all the chaos. And people that are going to empower them to learn how to do that themselves, to get through these shifts and these changes. And I always tell people resistance is futile. You're going to have to raise your frequencies if you want to stay on the planet. The whole earth is ascending. And there's a fail-safe mechanism that's called the soul that's being activated, and people are being activated. And the sun is part of it, the Cygnus, all this incoming energy that's slamming the planet. The Earth is just expanding, and she's going to bust loose with some volcanoes, and there's going to be severe weather, and there's going to be a lot of craziness with this shift and this change. And we have to roll with it and just realize, all the prophecies have warned us about this, that we're in those times, there'll be wars and rumors of wars and all this stuff. Don't get caught up in all that, and just, keep your connection, and that's where your real guidance is going to get you through everything, is by having your soul connection. Your soul's connected to source. And the one other thing I want to mention too is that so many religions and churches are pushing this external God, and it's a jealous, wrathful, fearful, genocidal external God. They're the sacrificial gods of old. And Yeshua disbanded all that. He said, "No, no more sacrifices. We're not going to worship these external gods anymore. You're all going to make your own personal God connection. And there's enough room in heaven for everybody." And that foundation right now, it seems to be pressing in really hard, that basic truth, that universal truth. And it's just pushing out all these disempowering programs that keep creating barriers, and these external, jealous, wrathful God images that have enslaved humanity through eons. And a lot of people are having trouble breaking through and finding the worthiness and the self-love to make their own personal connections, with greater. And that's a biggie, because they think they're going to get punished, by this external source, which, it's amazing how a couple near-death experiences pretty much put that on the back table. You realize that Creator doesn't even have an ego. And it's not a male, it's not a female, it's not a little old man with a laptop taking notes with a lightning bolt to punish you. It's just pure unconditional love and joy and bliss. It's a golden white light, like a plane of bliss, that when you experience that, you go, "Whoa, I was lied to, about that." And there's no ego, so there's no judgment. It's beyond that. And that's what all the masters have taught for thousands of years.
Yeah, and that's a deep conditioning. I think even if people sort of mentally can grasp what you're describing and they say, okay, yeah, this kind of making sense mentally. A lot of these programs are deep in the subconscious mind, and it's like people not able to even just give up little like food addictions, addiction to sugar,
Yeah.
whatever the case may be. So that's where I think doing some of this inner work, the yoga, the meditation, the clearing processes, helps to kind of clear that stuff out of the mind. Even things, even belief systems we're not conscious of can be harmonized and cleared when we just connect deeper into ourself and deeper into our core, because that energy is the universal energy that can clear all of that. And so I have found that to be more helpful for people than trying to explain things, like even with nutrition, when I'm taking people through a cleanse or something. If I can give people an experience of what, where we're going with this, then that changes their mind, about everything. And so it's like that experiential or practical, approach then can go and change the mind, where when we try to change our mind with our mind, we end up going in circles and we get really, analytical and trying to figure all this stuff out. But the truth is there, like the air.
Yeah.
It's already self-evident. And if we can just release a lot of what we're holding on to, then that comes flooding in and it restructures and re informs our entire system. So yeah, I think the practical side is really key for people right now.
Yeah, it's like when you make your own personal connection with Creator, God, Great Spirit, whatever you want to call it. I call it the big eraser. It comes in, never happened. All your wounds and traumas and wrong conclusions, you gain the wisdom from the experience, settles in the soul, gone, and the emotional energy or trauma around that's released. And that is the key, to everything, is making your own connection. I've got to bring Jesse on. I got to bring you on for a whole show. I mean, because we can do a whole show. We're so much on the same page and everything, but
Today I wanted to just share a little bit about the Isetti Ranch 2026 Retreat to Silence, which perfectly ties into absolutely everything that you and Siddhashwari were just discussing. There's so much inner work to be done. There's so much external contact to be had. And the retreat to silence is about empowering ourselves to get to our bodies, our default mode network, where physically our brains, our bodies, every system within ourselves, and the multi-dimensional aspects of our spirit can have like a baseline to reset from, to grow from, to connect to, so that we can learn how to reconnect with the world that we're in. Biologically, science is discovering how just after minutes, hours, days of intentional silence, our bodies begin to reset. After just 2 hours of intentional silence, the hippocampus in our brain will begin to repair itself. And that part of the limbic system is responsible for tying emotional experiences to events and then converting them into memory. So by going into a mode of silence, in this is just a gentle 24 hours of silence that we're going to be observing during the retreat. It's very doable, and like I said, very gentle. It's not super strict. But by repairing that hippocampus and igniting that, we allow ourselves to convert the experiences that we're having into memories that are authentic, if that makes sense. If we're st highly stimulated, it's much harder to have a realistic memory of something we experience. And the intentions for this retreat, as a volunteer, I think it's so beautiful that on the days when we are closed, it's very quiet. And you and I both spend a lot of time in silence with the land. And I thought how beautiful it would be for a guest to be able to come and have a safe, supported space where they can enjoy silence on Isetti land, and also the support of guided meditations or structured, scheduled meditations that we will move through throughout the 24 hours of silence. We're going to notice that amount of time will also give the amygdala in our brain, that's our kind of our fear, fight, or flight center. And it's going to give that a chance to repair. After 4 hours of intentional silence, the amygdala kicks in. Our cortisol levels lower, our blood pressure drops, our heart rate stabilizes, and we're in a place inwardly, we talk about inner earth, where we can connect to our own inner earth through the portal of silence, in a loving, supported space. So that's the general intention of the retreat, is to give guests an opportunity to enjoy the land in silence. Guests that choose to participate will have a lanyard stating that they're observing silence as part of Isetti's retreat to silence. We're also going to provide participants, they'll receive a nice little meditation eye mask. So during the 24 hours, if they choose to do one of the meditations in complete darkness, then they're welcome to do that. So the structure of the retreat, it will begin on June 11th And check-in will be from our 3 to 7 check-in time. And at 7:30, we're going to be going in for a welcoming in the hall. And we get to do a healing circle with you, James. And we'll go over any questions and intentions and preparations for the 24 hours of silence. We'll enjoy a wonderful sky watch together. And then at midnight, Friday at midnight, this 24 hours of silence begins. During the Friday, full Friday of silence, we'll begin our day with hot tea and a silent walk around the intention path, which is just going to be wonderful. Moving on to a meditation in the galactic medicine wheel, there will be a meditation in the Palladian Circle of Light, where we silently connect to the mother of the mountain. We're also going to have in the meditation room where Siddharshwari will be doing her workshop, we're going to be doing a sound bath with the Tibetan bowl and tuning forks. All of these things while observing personal silence. And it is not as strict as a Vipassana retreat. Giggling happens, crying happens. And sometimes we might just need our own personal space. So the schedule is actually listed on the website. If you visit eseti.org, then you'll be able to see all of the daily events. There will be two amazing, light, raw, healthy meals. I'm personally sprouting all of the sprouts and microgreens for this retreat. At 11 and 5, our bodies will be nourished. During a silent retreat, or as you know, during a yoga retreat, we want to keep our bodies nourished and vitalized, but we don't want to keep them too heavy. So the meals will be light, refreshing, satiating, but nourishing. Then I'm excited about preparing those.
For those who don't know who Jessie is, she's our resident Inner Earth Ambassador, Elven Fairy Kingdom, and most probably, I would say she's probably the most likely to ascend out of all of us.
I've been fortunate to spend a great deal of time with nature and in silence, and beautiful things happen. And consequently, like you each were speaking of being on this earth and being present for the journey. And the silence that I get to really dive into on multiple dimensions helps me with all of the earth stuff and the humans and being of service and being able to communicate in a way that fosters right speech, that fosters positivity and effectiveness. So yeah, I appreciate that.
Awesome. Yeah, we're coming up to the end of the hour. I don't know, both of you, if you want to leave a last message for humanity and the earth, what would that be?
Well, I think everything that we're talking about is that the one of the most important things is for people to connect with themselves at this time. And that really is closely related to connecting with the earth. Because all of that, everything that we're looking for, whether it's in the material dimension or even in the higher realms or extraterrestrial realms, is coming from within us. And so taking the time, it doesn't have to be a lot of time. Like what Jesse was saying, I didn't actually know about that retreat, but I was thinking I want to come to the retreat because in that silence is when we do, when we get quiet and we have less external stimulation. And even just in the form of talking, when we kind of quiet all that down, that is a big catalyst for deepening our connection to ourself. And so, if people are able to go to Jesse's retreat, I highly, highly recommend that. I'd like to come too. And if not, even just taking a personal practice, whether it's a meditation practice, even just 5 minutes outside, like James said, touching a tree, Anything that you can do at this time to really connect in with yourself. And it's as easy as asking and having that intention and making that request. So you don't have to be a yogi or a long-term meditator or any of that. Just your pure intent of reconnecting deep into the core of your being, is all you need. And so that would be my message, is to just encourage people to take a few minutes to connect within and ideally on the earth.
Yeah. And the land there, and he said, people, as soon as you walk on the land, it's a very high frequency place, a very high vibrational place. And it's actually acknowledged by the government, believe it or not, as a purple zone, where the magnetic energies are totally different than other areas, and the veils between worlds are very thin. So a lot happens there that ordinarily wouldn't be happening in, major cities and things like that, but it gives you a boost. It's like a big, like a jump, like you're jumping your car when it's dead, it's the same thing. It just gives you a big energy boost. Jesse, do you want to, did
Oh,
you?
it's a huge energy boost. Yes, and that's
Yeah.
what I wanted to share my message. Is to come and connect, and like as Siddharshwari was saying, and most importantly, my message is to have an absolutely amazing, joyful time while you do it. It just makes, because we're all here for the experience. We signed up for it, and that interconnection, that inner magic, allows it, totally facilitates that joy.
Awesome. Hey, well, I can't thank you both enough for coming on the show. And you go to the website, folks, you can see everything there, all the workshops and the classes. We've got Peter Slattery coming up too again, doing a special remote viewing class and a combined workshop. And if you've never seen a UFO before, come to SETI. I guarantee you will not be disappointed. Because not only will you see them, you'll feel them. They're beautiful beings on some of those ships. And anyway, again, I can't thank you enough for coming on the show. We've got to sign off. We're out of time. And keep an open mind, loving heart, pure intent, and get grounded, and that's how you're going to get through these changes and actually learn to practice, loving detachment. You don't always have to be right, and you don't have to be in an argument. And my favorite words are, as you wish, have fun with that. And I get back into my own grounded state. But anyway, that's it for tonight. So have a great evening, folks, and we'll see you next Saturday.
Come join us and start your free trial today. Watch our weekly podcast, As You Wish Talk Radio, with James Gilliland every Saturday, or catch up on past shows. Watch Skywatch videos of UFOs, orbs, and much more. You can also learn about self-mastery, herbalism, and how to ground and shield yourself from negative unseen influences through our many wonderful workshops. So what are you waiting for? Come join the fun. We're waiting for you. And don't forget to visit our wonderful merch store and show your support today.